RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
If you missed it, Trayvon Diggs has been released by the Dallas Cowboys. We will have Todd Archer, ESPN. He broke the story earlier this afternoon. He will hop on with us in 1 hour. And Brian Broaddus tells us that the reason behind the release is just simply that it was going to be inevitable. And this gives the Cowboys an opportunity to maybe save $472,000 if a team claims them. So that's the hope right now, is that a playoff team in need for some secondary help makes a claim there and takes the remaining money that the Cowboys owe Diggs. And
well, that would be the whole contract. They would claim the whole contract, not only the money that's owed, the remaining money that's owed on this 2025 contract, but in 2026, 2027. So you would take the whole entire contract.
Wow.
That
would be crazy.
Now you got to add up the savings from there is what you would have to do.
All right. It is a Ask Broaddus Anything all show long as we keep it friendly and nice on the text. First time in a half decade, he's opened this bad boy. And so we're answering questions, having a good time on a Mail It In TD Tuesday here in the G-Bag Nation. Eric Chiafalo, Brian Broaddus, and we got Degenerate Jake hanging out with us. For the time being, we'll see when Khaki Kevin Walker hops in here and spells Lucius. He's got the floor situation he's dealing with at the condo today.
Yeah, wish him some luck there. This sounds like it's kind of a messy deal.
Dawson's still on vacation, Walchuk as well. So we're hanging out with you right here together, having ourselves a damn good time. It's the C-Note. Yesterday we asked you, what's the dumbest Cowboys take you had about this 2025 Cowboys season? Could have been in the offseason, during the season, here over the last couple of weeks, whatever it was. Now today, get a little bit more positive. You can flex a little bit. What's the best take you had about the Cowboys this season? And we've got one here in the 817. My take week one was that the secondary was trash.
Ooh.
And they'd be lucky to win 9 games.
Yeah.
And here we are.
Yeah.
Nail on the head. You got it. Yeah, we were concerned about the secondary for sure. Concerned about the defense. I mean, I remember you brought us in the offseason saying, like, this is going to look a little bit like the Cincinnati Bengals of last year.
Yeah.
Where the offense can put up 30 points pretty easily, but you'll still lose games because the defense will give up 31 or 34 or 40. And that's really how this thing has played out. And that's probably where I would probably have my best takes of the year, saying this was going to be about an 8-win football team. Didn't love the Eberflus hire.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much where it goes here. 214, same thing. Best take was 7 or 8 wins for the season. Shout out to Tony in the 214.
Yeah.
I mean, I think there was you could see that. You know, I mean, a lot of times you could be blinded, and especially with the run that the division had gone on where there was 20 plus years of no back-to-back winners of the division.
Yeah.
Some people were thinking, okay, maybe the Cowboys have a chance there, but the schedule was tough. Like, coming into the season, it was like, man, this schedule is a bit of a gauntlet here. And then once you punted on Micah before the season started, you really knew, okay, this defense is not going to have a chance.
Let me ask you this question, and I think you'll be really honest about this. Do you feel better about the Dak situation than you felt last spring when they were – before that they were – remember we went through all those shows of – like, hey, would you sign him? Would you not sign him? Would you move on? And you made some really valid points about moving on. Do you feel differently about that situation?
Absolutely. Yeah. I feel totally differently about that. I mean, I still have the concern that the Cowboys will use that big contract that they gave him to cut corners on the rest of the roster.
Yeah.
And so I'm still concerned about that.
Sure.
But from the Dak side of things,
yeah.
Yes, I was thinking.
He played better than the assessment that we were going through. Right?
I would say in a lot of ways, you're probably talking about this season being the best version of Dak that we've ever mm-hmm. seen. And most of that is credit to Dak. A lot of that credit to Schottenheimer
yeah.
and the offense that they've built here. And obviously bringing in Pickens and Clayton Adams and that whole deal. So, yes, I feel so much better about Dak. He had a healthy year, which was great.
Yeah.
And he played really well for majority of the season. So I feel much differently now about Dak. Because remember, it was not only the injury last year, but everything leading up to the injury last year was like 7 or 8 games into the season. Dak looked like the worst version of himself.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh, you just paid him the deal, and now him and CeeDee Lamb were a note off, and things were weird. You had Lamb sitting out of training camp, and so everything with the McCarthy offense was just a disaster, and Dak looked like maybe the worst version of himself.
Right.
And so then you have the injury, so going into the season, it's like, what version of Dak are we getting? You weren't sure what the shoddy offense was really going to look like, but all those concerns have been dispelled now. And you feel great about Dak moving forward. You always have in the back of your mind, like, could he get banged up again?
Yeah.
But barring that, no, I feel awesome about Dak right now. And
yeah.
so hopefully the Cowboys understand that, hey, like, we've paid him all this money. We have a short window now at this stage in his career. You're not going to have this version of Dak forever. You've got to capitalize on it. You've got to take advantage of it. And that's one of the biggest disappointments of this season, is that you did get perhaps the best version of Dak that we've seen ever. And you're sitting here with weeks to go in the season out of the playoffs
yeah.
because you put together the worst defense in franchise history.
Yeah.
And so you cannot do that again. You cannot do that again. You have got to go all in here and mortgage whatever of the future you have to mortgage to take advantage of the way Dak's playing in this offense right now. And
yeah.
you should have some pretty good continuity offensively going into next season.
See, there's people, and I'm just seeing it on the text. There's people talking about you. How do you guys, this is from the 214. So you guys can just justify Dak being the highest paid quarterback in the league. It's get the, you know what, out of here is what there's people. This is the difference between a lot of folks, is when you have a take and not being able to, you know, kind of walk that back, or not walk it back, but like admit just, when you're wrong.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You get new evidence.
Yeah.
You have new things to now put the whole picture together and admit that you were wrong. Yes. I mean, did they still get kind of railed on the deal? For sure they did. Because Dak isn't the best quarterback in the league, even though he's paid like it.
Yeah.
So, and you've seen better quarterbacks
yeah.
get lesser money than Dak since he got his deal.
Right.
So it's still not a great deal. I'm not in love with the deal they gave him, but I am comfortable with the way that he is playing.
Yeah.
And now it's up to the Cowboys and the front office to say, all right, let's give him the requisite talent needed
right.
to
right.
go ahead and try and make a run here. Otherwise, it's just another Romo-style waste where you have a really awesome quarterback.
Right.
Not best in the league, but certainly a guy that you feel like watching Dak this year, that is the type of quarterback that you could go on a playoff run with. But you got to give this guy some level of help, and that help needs to be defensively.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I definitely feel different about that. And credit to Dak for staying healthy and playing some damn good football
yeah.
this year. Best take you had about the Cowboys this season, 877-881-1053, our buddy Tim in Carthage. Best take, needed to get Mozzie and Diggs up out of here. Took a little longer than we wanted. But you got that. It's nice. It is nice. We kind of forget the Mozzie,
yeah.
the Mozzie stuff. Every time we talk about Quinnen Williams, we need to mention the fact that also you were able to get Mozzie Smith the heck up out of here, and that was certainly one of the more disastrous first round picks this team's had over the last decade or so. 877-881-1053. Now let's see. 214. Abe says, "I thought trading Micah was the right move,"
mm-hmm.
and so far, I mean, I'm still not fully on board with that was absolutely the right move, but it looks better today than it did the day you moved on from him. Having Quinnen Williams up in here, obviously knowing now that he got banged up, and just the general leadership kind of issues and stuff, and that's another big contract they would use to shortcut the rest of the roster. So It's fair. It's fair. It looks a lot better today than it did the day that it happened. I was not really fired up about it when we were broadcasting live from Jake's Burgers.
Jake's Burgers, for sure.
Getting that news. But Quinnen Williams is clearly a super stud. 469, my best take this year was that it would be just like the last 30. No Super Bowl. Yeah. You crushed that one. You crushed that one. 214, my worst take was that Dak's lower body was not going to cooperate with his desire to play. Really thought he was going to miss 4 to 6 games. So that goes back to yesterday with the worst takes. Tovash with his worst take here, thinking they'd get the over on wins.
No.
That, set by Vegas at 9.
I thought it was going
to
be...
Anywhere from like 7.5 to 9 is kind of where the lines were.
It was 9 and 8 was going to be the... I thought the 9 and 8 was what the season was going to be.
And now they're hoping they get to 8-8-1, and they are doing everything in their power to get that done. 214, my best take, Ferg would bounce back with that G-bag bump. Definitely had a bounce-back year overall, but I still have a little bit of concern with and maybe it's part of the offense. I don't know, Broadus. I mean, has he lost some level of athleticism because he like pushing the ball down the field, making the plays down the field? So much of it was just check down, hey, we'll hit Ferguson, and hopefully he can go get 5 to 10 yards out of it. His yards per reception is extremely low, and that's something that I don't know if that's by design.
That's what I wonder. Yeah, I wonder if in fact that with when you look at maybe McCarthy and what they were trying to do, a little bit more of a willingness to push the ball. But and to push the ball in a way to the tight end. But we really didn't see Dak and Ferg connect on many of those cover two beaters. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Where he's running vertical along the seam. We saw some of those early in the season, and they were having some trouble completing them. And then maybe they got a little bit of some situation, too, where teams were playing them a little bit differently and not allowing them to make some of those throws.
Okay, so we got some updates here. Shout out to Tolo D and to our buddy Rocket, who have just tagged me in the NFL Insider Jordan Schultz report about Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
I will read this to you.
Yeah.
He says, my understanding of the Trayvon Diggs situation is this. After the Cowboys finished their Christmas game versus the Commanders, Diggs requested with head coach Brian Schottenheimer to stay in Washington for the holiday since he's from the area and his family stays there. Players often ask for and are usually granted additional family time during the holidays if the schedule makes sense. Shotty denied the request. Diggs again said he wanted to be with his family and that if he went back to Dallas, he'd just be flying right back on the first flight out, especially with players having several days off. The team vehemently denied his request again, and then today the team released him. Diggs is healthy and ready to join a new team for the playoffs.
Yeah.
So Jordan Schultz has the Diggs side of the story here. That's interesting. I mean, Shotty clearly has not been pleased with Trayvon.
I'm going to, at the break, try and kind of see if I can dig a little bit more and see if Jordan Schultz is right.
Okay.
I'm going to dig a little bit more on that one and see if, in fact, that was. I think someone will tell me. I think I got somebody they'll tell me about that.
Yeah, because you always get the two sides. You know, the team will maybe have somebody that they feed their side to. This clearly looks like a dig side of the story being gifted there to Jordan Schultz.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting twist on this. Of course, we have Todd Archer of ESPN. He broke the news of Diggs' release earlier today. He will hop on with us at 4 o'clock, so we'll get some info there, but Broadus will be all over it as well. So that's an interesting turn there because we were wondering, like, the timing is so interesting. Why wouldn't you have done this perhaps weeks ago? But they do it right before the season ends, even though we all knew this was going to end in a divorce at some point here. Just thought it was going to be the off season. But that would make a little bit more sense here if things got even more testy between Diggs and Shotty after all season long, even when Diggs was allegedly healthy enough to get back on the field. It took quite a bit of time and a Deron Bland injury to really get him back on the field. So that's interesting. Shotty's not screwing around.
Yeah.
Not screwing around. That is a bit of a pain. You wonder there, like, if that's a player that is in a little bit more of good graces with Shotty and with the team, would they have granted that?
Yeah.
Like, would they have allowed that player to stay and not deny the request there? So There's the report from Jordan Schultz. We'll get more on that with Archer and Broaddus here all throughout the program. 877-881-1053. 817, my worst take was I had them at 10-7. Best take was I was completely unbothered from the Micah trade. 432 asking, is Will McClay's seat ever going to get hot?
Okay, this is what I want to say about Will McClay real quick. And this is not defending Will McClay, because Will McClay a lot of times is not very happy with me, because word gets back to some of the things, but I do respect Will McClay. Will McClay has the worst job in the National Football League. He does. He's compensated well, worst job in the National Football League.
Why?
He has to answer to the Joneses. He has to answer to his coaches. He has to answer to his scouts. If Will McClay were to able, and this is the thing that needs to change if the Dallas Cowboys are going to win going forward, or going to be better in a lot of ways, they need to tighten the circle with the number of voices and stuff that are in that room. Will McClay is put in a chair where he has to make sure that everybody, those the groups I named, the Joneses, the coaches, and the scouts are all happy. There's always somebody mad at Will McClay. Will McClay is constantly juggling chainsaws when it comes to this. He's, you know, he has to do things like coaches want this, scouts want this. Joneses feel like that, well, maybe we need to do this. He is always in the middle of trying to make things work for all three parties. He's like the majority whip. You know, he's trying to drum up, you know, he's trying to keep everything together, get the votes and all that. If Will McClay, if it was just Will McClay's choice to make on player evaluation, this team would be very similar to what you got in Philadelphia, in my opinion. If you allowed him to spend money, make trades, do the
draft thing, the guys draft, he wants.
Draft the guys, absolutely. Absolutely. So to me, this is kind of where I kind of feel like, though, that I'm not defending Will McClay, but I'm just saying this. If the Joneses really, really wanted to change the fortune of their franchise, and it doesn't have to be Will McClay, bring somebody in here who would, and they know Will the best, so it's easier for them to do this, but Will is in a terrible situation when it comes to trying to put this football team together. You could blame him for the drafting and free agency. Will McClay stood up there and fought for Mozzie Smith because, you know why? Dan Quinn. He stood up there, and now he's having to say, well, coaches want this guy. Coaches, well, scouts are saying, well, wait a minute, we don't want this guy. So they're having to do something a little different. You know, they're having to do this, having to do that.
He must go home so frustrated.
If the final buck was in Will McClay's desk, if stopped with him, this team would be far better off and you wouldn't have to worry about it. It's talent-wise, they've done some good things where he's able to kind of navigate some of the picks. You know, he's able to like, well, we really need this Booker. You know, Booker would be a good fit. This is what we want to do. Or Tyler Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Or just name anybody else. I mean, like the whole thing with Diggs, I know it looks bad now. It was a second-round pick and all that. But, you know, that's kind of where we're at. Now, listen, I had somebody update me on the Diggs story here.
Okay.
There is some truth to that as well. So there's some truth to the – so I am confirming – that there is some truth to the
Diggs wanting to stay
in
Washington after the Christmas game to be with his family.
Yes, I'm confirming that, yes.
Is that like an all-time bleep hole move, you think, from Shoddy and the Cowboys to not let him do
I
that?
I don't know. He's probably not in a situation where he's made a lot of people happy there. So, you know, you probably got some folks that are like, no, we're not going to go out of our way to do this for this guy, you know? So that's if it was one of those things where as a player probably in some better graces – maybe so. Maybe so. But I'm just go back to Will McClay.
Mm-hmm.
If you really, really want things to be changed, then it would be just tighten up the circle. Listen, this is a team that always wants consensus. It's consensus. It's, Eric, you're the scout, I'm the coach, and you and I are having a disagreement about the player, but let's get together and kind of talk it out. No, somebody needs to make the determination. We're drafting this player because
he's right.
Not because, oh, we came to a consensus and somebody, no, you know, we don't need Jerry standing up there anymore and telling us, wow, we picked DeMarco Murray because of Barry Switzer. Scouts did some work on that. Somebody did work on that.
Yeah.
We listen to too many people. If I could say one wish for the Dallas Cowboys, that Jerry Jones, Will McClay, and Stephen Jones listen to less people.
I love it. Brian Broaddus on fire here in the G-Bag Nation on a TD Tuesday. Todd Archer of ESPN coming up at the top of the hour. We got Krusty's Corner at 3:40, but we'll hit you with a sports hodgepodge next year in the nation.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
TJ Houshmandzadeh, could you just rate my guy here on a scale of 1 to 10?
You don't think it's rude what you just did?
Who's literally listening to this anyway? Is anyone listening to you guys?
The home of the Cowboys.
Well, no one, exactly. No one's listening.
I did a radio show when I first got here, and they told me I was fat.
The brisket sando, that is hard to beat.
LeVar, you want to get in on this?
I'm not in on that. Rude mother.
Ooh, he almost cussed.
Then they called me the Girthquake or some stupid.
I do like the Girthquake. That's a nice nickname.
Little
shock jock stuff.
Plenty to get to here in the hodgepodge. Trayvon Diggs has been released by the Dallas Cowboys. Broadus just confirmed the Jordan Schultz report, where there was a little bit of a back and forth on Christmas Day, where Trayvon Diggs wanted to remain in Washington to be with his family for the holidays, and allegedly Shoddy denied the request. Diggs had to fly back with the team and then hop on another bird and fly back to Washington. Total pain in the neck and a bit of a bleep hole move from the Cowboys side of things, but Trayvon Diggs was pretty unprofessional throughout his tenure, and especially over the last 12 months or so, and so he was not in the good graces in a way that allowed Shoddy to be like, yeah, sure, you know what, you've earned it, man, just go ahead and stay back here. I don't imagine Shoddy is an all-time bleep hole where he would have done that to other players, but Trayvon Diggs, his situation was a little bit different, and so their relationship clearly fractured, has been for basically all season, and so that is what we know right now. Todd Archer, ESPN, joins us at the top of the hour.
Yeah, just looking at the text again, this seems to be something I'm having fun with today.
Yeah, Broadus looking at the text, ladies and gentlemen.
The 469 asked me, if George Pickens leaves to play somewhere else, would the Cowboys should draft Mekhi Lemon? George Pickens fit the Cowboys system pretty well. I agree with you. I think the player that's more like George Pickens is a guy named Jordan Tyson from Arizona State. 6'2", 200 pounds. Take a look at that young man. I do like Lemon a lot. He's my second best wide receiver when you watch him play. But Jordan Tyson, I think, fits more what how George Pickens looks and how George Pickens plays. Another one from the 251. That's Mobile, Alabama. Brian, next time you're going to come to the Senior Bowl and scout. It's going to be a while. I don't think I'll come back. I love Mobile, Alabama. Matter of fact, that my son Bennett was carrying Cannon, the Smokey the Cannon, across the country yesterday for the Texas-Michigan game.
Made it safe.
And they made it safe, stopped in Mobile for lunch. Mobile, Alabama is one of my favorite places in the world. Mardi Gras was invented there, is where we got its start. So great people in Mobile. I'd love to go back to the Senior Bowl. That was one of my favorite times of the year to go.
Where they eat? Waffle House? I hear there's a legendary Waffle House over there.
There's all kinds of, yeah. They've got
chicken fried steaks probably off the chain.
Charbroiled oysters and stuff. A lot of seafood and stuff like
okay.
that. Yeah, so they've got a really, really good. I saw another person that works with my former teammate, my real name with my teammate, Tommy Clapp. is his name. it works with Tommy. I saw it just quickly before it went off the air, went down. Tell Tommy I said hello. Tommy, a great teammate of mine. His son, Will Clapp, center, was with the New Orleans Saints, kind of bounced around, stuff like that. So
Will Clapp.
Will Clapp is his name. So Tommy from the LSU days. So please tell him I said hello if you're still listening.
I love it. All right, 877-881-1053. Broadus is reading the text all day long, and we are in the midst of the hodgepodge before we get you to Krusty's Corner. I did want to mention that you have Nikola Jokic in the NBA.
Uh-huh.
My gosh, what a season he's having. Wait till I give you some of the numbers here and give you some context.
Is this why he's like MVP every year? Because he has these numbers?
He's ridiculous, dude. Yeah. But he has a hyperextended left knee. We'll be missing about a month, according to Shams.
Oops.
He's in the midst of a truly historic campaign. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, he's never really had a catastrophic injury.
Yeah.
Not that this is, like, super catastrophic, but when you're missing a month's time or so, that's pretty significant. So that's a big blow to the Denver Nuggets right now. But listen to this, the context of the type of season that Nikola Jokic is having right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shaq's career high scoring average was 29.7 points per game. He did that in the 99-2000 season. Nikola Jokic is scoring more than Shaq's career high.
Wow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Karl Malone, the mailman, all-time rebounder. His career high rebounding average was 12 in the 87-88 season. Nikola Jokic is averaging more rebounds per game than Karl Malone's career high. Mm-hmm. Okay, so more points this season on average than Shaq's career high scoring average, more rebounds this season for Nikola Jokic than Karl Malone's career high. How about this? Jason Kidd's career high assists was 10.8 assists per game in 1998-99. Nikola Jokic is averaging more assists this season than Jason Kidd did in his career high assist year. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar had a career-high field goal percentage in 1979 of 60.4%. Nikola Jokic this year is 60.4% from the field. So he scores more than Shaq ever did in a season, rebounds more than Karl Malone ever did in a season, has more assists per game than Jason Kidd ever did in a season. He's right on par with Kareem's career-high field goal percentage. And the final one. Larry Bird, career-high three-point percentage, 42.7%.
Uh-huh.
Nikola Jokic, three-point percentage this season, 44%.
Yeah.
So he is all in one this year. He's Shaq, Karl Malone, Jason Kidd, Kareem, and Larry Bird.
So he's just some of the greatest players ever to play basketball, is that what you're saying?
We're going back to when you were in your prime, Broadus.
Uh-huh.
Talking about Kareem and Larry.
I tell you what, those dudes were players now.
You need to go
back.
Question.
You need to go back and watch some of those guys play. They were unbelievable.
I'm with you, dude.
Yeah.
I'm with you. Those guys are
and
legends.
I wasn't even a basketball fan, but you admire those cats.
That's the type of season
that
Nikola Jokic is having right now. We wish him a speedy recovery. Now, we also have, there's so much today, dude. This is phenomenal. I have here in front of me the highest paid TV show hosts of the year as we close things down. Who do you think, and this includes like sports broadcasters.
Who do you think? Stephen A. Smith is up to, but we got news reporters that make $15 million a year.
So for context, Stephen A. Smith is tied with Pat McAfee at 15.
Okay. So
with $20 million a year.
Okay. So that's what's that? $20 million a year at?
And they're 15th.
They're 15th. So, okay. Wow. Okay, does Howard Stern's consider radio, right? Or is it like...
Yeah, this is just TV hosts.
Just TV hosts.
Stern would probably be at the top of this list.
Okay, wait a minute. We've got some... we got that judge. Judge... what's the lady judge?
Judge Judy?
Judge Judy. What'd she make a year?
I guess she's... Maybe
no longer in there?
I don't think she's in there anymore.
I thought she was a 40...
Yeah, she was a total ball crusher in her day.
How about Steve Harvey? Would that be another guy?
Steve Harvey is 20th on the list at $17 million.
Okay, wow. Okay, we're going to start talking about...
Some of your chef buddies?
Okay,
well, You're foodie people?
So Guy Fieri.
By the way, Judge Judy retired in 2021.
Oh, thank you. Khaki Kev in the building now.
Fact-checking is what he's doing.
He's great at that. I will say, superpower, Khaki Kev. Like, he will feed you the stuff in real time that you need.
Yeah.
That's a great producer right there. Shout out to New Guy Jake as well, a.k.a. Degenerate Jake. Red Raider fan. He was fantastic for 90 minutes.
He helped us with some Bears
stuff. Yeah, gave us a little Bears report.
Okay, this is good. There's got to be somebody that we're...
Yeah, Guy Fieri, by the way, number two on the list. Tied at two with $33 million a year. Guy Fieri!
Yeah, he's got a lot going on, Guy Fieri. Okay, so he's number two. So there's somebody that's... It's got to be one of these Fox or CNN dudes.
Well, it's a Fox guy. Fox Sports. It's the GOAT.
Tom Brady.
$37.5 million. Wow. He leads the league in 2025 for highest paid TV hosts. I guess they're considering him a host in this role. $37.5 million. Bobby Flay's tied at two with Fieri, by the way. $33 million for Bobby.
Yeah. Bobby Flay, he's a trip. Oh, by the way, on the text, they asked this question. You know, I'm going squirrel right now for you.
Let's go, baby.
They asked the difference between Creole seasoning and Cajun seasoning.
Yes.
It happens to be like the Cajun focuses on peppery flavors, while the Creole is more about the herbal. I say it wrong. Herbal.
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 You just eat the H. Herbal.
Okay. Herbal. Yeah. So Cajun is more about the pepper, and then the Creole is more about the herbal scent, that or the herbal taste. That's the biggest difference between the two.
We got one guy that's punting on the soy sauce these days and going for the Worcestershire.
Okay, the Worcestershire. What do you think about that? I like it, but I tell you what's interesting. I'm learning about Worcestershire sauce. It's got an interesting flavor, and not many people are fans of this particular thing that they put in it. And they said, "Oh, I would never eat that." But if you use like Liam Perrin sauce, anchovies.
Ooh.
That's how you get
anchovies is stay away from me generally.
That's how you get the flavors.
Shout out to Papa Walchuk, who loves an anchovy pizza.
So if you're in a situation where you're putting this like as using Liam Perrin as a marinate, you know, part of a thing, then that's what you're using. You're using basically anchovies, and you're thinking, oh, I hate anchovies. If you use that product, you're using anchovies. Think about that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's going to be tough to stomach. All right, there's your hodgepodge, ladies and gentlemen, here on a TD Tuesday. Todd Archer, ESPN, talking Cowboys at the top of the hour. But coming up next, it's time for Krusty's Corner.
Yeah, I'm tired of talking. I'm going to ask Eric some questions. We'll do.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Do that next.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you five new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Krusty's Corner brought to you by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That's greystone-roofing.com.
Thank you very much, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you, Khaki Kevin, for playing that for me as always. The 512 says they're asking, the question I asked about the seasoning, the difference between Creole and Cajun. Yes, you're absolutely right. Cajun is the roux. Creole is the tomato base. We were talking about seasoning, not the actual base is what we were talking about. But you're absolutely right. Cajun is the mixture of the flour and some type of oil. Sometimes butter would be the choice. But yeah, that's it. But you're exactly right. But we were talking about the actual seasoning.
Right.
Is what we were talking about, the difference there. So anyway. All right. Excited about having Todd Archer on after this today. Todd was the one who broke the story about Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs released.
Todd's really good at this stuff, by the way.
Professional.
He's one of the best. He really, really is. Okay. I said I had some questions for you.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to test them out for you because I like to ask these questions. Oh, by the way, kind of got some information about Jake Ferguson potentially playing this game. And by the way, this game is being looked at as let's go win a game kind of a thing so far.
Yeah.
On Tuesday. But here we are. I mean, there could be a possibility of starters starting and then kind of pulling back as need be. But a lot of it has to do with the aesthetics of the record. Does that make sense?
They just like the look of 8-8-1 a heck of a lot better than 7-9-1.
They do.
Which is just maddening.
Yeah.
Not a single fan in the world cares about, oh, we were 8-8-1.
If I'm just telling you.
I know they care.
If you were in that building, you would. I would hope that you would stand up and say this doesn't matter one bit. But when you're in that building, it does mean something.
It's just like the SEC. It just means more.
It doesn't mean that much, but yeah, it means you didn't have a losing season.
Right.
That's what you work all year not to be have a losing season. So think about aesthetics. All right. Here's my questions for you. I got some questions. You ready for these?
My body is ready.
How's your mind?
Mind is kind of drifting.
Mind's drifting?
But I'm locked in.
You didn't find any Miami gear, by the way?
No, my uncle's going to hook me up. Yeah. He flew in last night. I'll holler at him after the show and make sure he got me a shirt.
Okay.
You can't be showing up there with just a generic T-shirt.
You can't be. You got to go in there. Those Ohio State people are going to fight you now. Get ready.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in the Miami section.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'll be hollering at the playmaker, Michael Irvin, to come defend me if I need it.
Yeah. I wish you had a 47 Miami jersey. That'd be absolutely
That'd
cool.
be so sick.
That would be great. All right. Here you go. Question number one. Eric. Why do we get so mad at Terrence Steele?
I get upset because I was upset the day I remember. I think it was like a Labor Day situation, and it was me and Walchuk and Mike Bassick together at Globe Life Field, and we get the news that Terrence Steele just got a contract after tearing his ACL.
Sure,
and that ticked me off. Nothing against Terrence. It's just what are you doing from a team building standpoint?
We get mad at him
because he's consistently a bad pass protector. And
but a guy that went to Tech knew nothing about run blocking and like actually has a pretty good handle on how to run block.
Yes.
But we get so mad at him. Knock on wood, he doesn't miss starts. You know,
That's true.
He doesn't get hurt. He's in the lineup every single week.
And he misses his assignment every single week. And he's got my highly paid quarterback under duress. That's frustrating. It's like I don't know that he's gotten any better in pass pro. It's a great story. Like, good for him. He was a nobody, undrafted guy.
Yeah.
And he's made a career out of himself.
Didn't look great in the Senior Bowl. Gave up a lot of pressures.
Yeah. His first start, I think I'll never forget, is Myles Garrett and the Browns.
No,
at AT&T Stadium.
I thought he started against the Chargers. I thought he started against Chargers.
Oh, maybe that was it.
Yeah, I think it was a game. It was a game in Los Angeles. I think he got his first start against the Chargers. I could be wrong about that. But remember we were talking about how we were worried about the Chaz Green situation and all that. Am I right about that? Was it Chargers?
It's going to take me a second to see.
All right.
But I'm going to find this because in my mind, it was them putting him on an island versus Myles Garrett at AT&T Stadium.
I thought it was a game against the Chargers myself. I thought that was the one. I remember doing a pregame show. I thought I might be doing a pregame show. I might have been with Ari or somebody, but I thought that was the game. The 682 says Steel is Doug Free 2.0.
What do you think about that?
I think Doug Free probably a little bit better pass blocker, but I think that Steele's a little bit better run blocker. But I think they're very similar. Both lack strength, both lack power, both are reliable, both had toughness. I don't know. You get mad at Steele a lot.
Yeah, because once you get paid, expectations go up.
Okay.
I think that's a part of it. If he was still just on an undrafted rookie free agent deal,
yeah,
be like, hey, we're getting the most out of this guy.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. Yeah, I guess his first start was in L.A. It was versus the Rams.
Oh, was it the Rams?
The 2020 season.
I thought it was the Chargers.
And then
I thought they were trying to block one of the Bosa.
Khalil Mack was Khalil Mack there.
Guyton's first start, and the text is pointing this out. Guyton's first start was against Myles Garrett.
It was Guyton's first start?
Yeah. Remember that opening day in Cleveland? Yeah, and that's right.
That's definitely right. Yeah, it was week four that year of Terrence Steele's first year. That was when he went up against the Browns. So he did play Myles Garrett that rookie year, but I guess it wasn't his first start.
All right, here we go. Next question for you, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
What would this offense look like without Javonte Williams?
Oh, geez, with the guys that they have. I mean, credit to Malik Davis for the way he's been able to run the football here. But all season long without Javonte Williams and it just being Malik Davis and Lipke and then Jaden Blue's probably playing more.
Yeah.
I mean, your pass protection would be a disaster. Talk about pass protection issues because that is probably even more impressive than his running, which has been really good this year, is Javonte Williams' willingness for blitz pickup.
Yeah.
And you see the drop-off immediately when he's out of the game and Malik Davis has to step up there. So you'd be sacked more, you'd be pressured more, your pass game would suffer, and your run game would suffer. I mean, it would be bad. It would get ugly.
See, it's funny you said, because I asked Vach Lombardi the same question this morning when he and I were working.
Mm-hmm.
And I was curious, I go, what would this offense look like without him? And Vach said the same. But the thing he was harping on, like you just did, was the pass protection.
Yes.
It wasn't the running and all that. It was.
Yeah, because Malik Davis has shown you, and again, what he had been able to do it all season. Yeah. It's been a smaller sample size that he started to get a little bit more of the load from a rushing standpoint. But that's been fine.
Yeah.
It would still be lesser if it was him all season as the bell cow as opposed to Javonte Williams. But man, Dak, they'd have to be doing a max protection type offense a lot more often.
Yeah.
Dak would have gotten hit a lot more often.
But the protection's like,
I think that's the one. Because that's what you notice right now.
Yeah. I'm with you.
You agree with that?
No, I do. It's funny how both you guys who watch these games, study these games, both went the pass protection route before his ability as a runner.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just the nature of your running back room. If you had another guy in there, maybe he's a little bit, hey, pass protection, he can handle that, but he's just not a good runner, then it'd be a different story. But Javonte Williams has been really good in blitz pickup, and that's something that I think as football fans we have to understand when we're trying to evaluate running backs, whether you're drafting them or bringing guys in.
Mm-hmm.
That matters a ton. Really does.
All right, my final question to you. I got a couple more, but I know we're up against the time. Which trade has you now shaking your head? The Trey Lance or the Jonathan Mingo?
They were both for fourth-round picks, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think, gosh, it's sort of equal. I guess you could justify Trey Lance because it is the most important position.
Sure.
And you were in that time where you weren't sure if you were going to pay Dak.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really reach, you could justify it to some extent. Hey, you're taking a flyer on a quarterback that was one of the top prospects. But Jonathan Mingo has never for a single second made any sense.
Yeah.
At no point did that make sense from the day they did it to every day since. He's barely played, and he was proven to be not a good player with a fair sample size, even in Carolina. Like, that one is just...
Do you feel like he's really played this year, though?
No, no, he hasn't. Yeah. But even when he has been on the field, you haven't noticed him one time.
Yeah.
Not once.
Yeah.
It's like Pickens, Lamb, and Flannoy. Like, that's your trio.
Right.
And Mingo has just done, he's done nothing, even in the small opportunities he's been on the field, which is, again, very, very small.
One final question real quick then.
Here we go.
Was there ever a moment where you thought that George Pickens could be better than CeeDee Lamb?
I mean, we had those conversations, but yeah. I have so much respect for CeeDee Lamb's body of work and being a surefire top five wide receiver for many years.
Yeah.
And the versatility factor, all of that. Like, you've seen that over multiple seasons.
Yeah.
George Pickens, you see flashes of it and you see stretches of it, but with so many guys in the league, you see one game, you see a good month, whatever it is, that it's not necessarily who they are week in, week out, year in, year out. Yeah. So I never was willing to cross that bridge. I know Dawson, Choppy, yeah, plenty of people were like, oh, Pickens is wide receiver one.
Sure.
And he's definitely a beast. And on any given Sunday, he can be that guy.
Yeah.
But I think CeeDee Lamb is the one who's proven time and time again, with or without Dak, that's a guy that puts up numbers.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
There it is, Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing and Construction here in the G-Bag Nation. TD Tuesday at 4:20. Trayvon Diggs released from the Cowboys. The man that broke the story, Todd Archer, ESPN, joins us next right here on The Fan.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.